When we're on a quest to learn something new or to improve something in our businesses or our lives, we typically seek information about it. Maybe we start following specialists on social media. Maybe we invest in things like courses. There's that feeling that the more people we follow, the more valuable advice we'll get, and so the more we'll learn. And this is true. But with that can come overwhelm, pressure, and confusion. Maybe you're feeling like there's a new thing you're supposed to do at every turn. I know I've felt that way, especially when it comes to marketing. When you're surrounded by different pieces of advice, you feel pressure of needing that thing. If you don't have it, you won't achieve your goals. And sometimes you even come across conflicting advice and you have no idea which one to take. Well, all of this is common, and I realise that with what I do, I may even be adding to some of that confusion for you. I'm sure you listen to other business podcasts as well, and they might offer different advice to me. So in this unbiased episode, I'm going to share a few ways you can keep listening to and following the people you want. You can keep seeking new information, but minus the overwhelm, without the pressure and without the confusion. Welcome to the Upgrade Your Education Business Podcast. I'm your host, Samantha, and I'm so pleased you're here. As an education business owner myself and a former teacher, I understand the nuances that only apply to us. So in this podcast, I share fluff-free, tailored, and actionable ideas that you can mold to suit your needs. If you'd like to take this conversation further, please do reach out. I would love to meet you. And finally, it would mean the world to me if you could leave a review. That way, you'll be helping me help more people. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy. I'm really conscious that if you're a regular listener of this podcast, each week I choose a different topic and I share lots of actionable ideas. And if you listen each week, that means that every single week you're getting different action points, and that can be overwhelming. I do try and mitigate that by advising things like only doing one action from my list at a time, and I try and share a range of examples so you know there isn't one way of doing things. But still, it doesn't change the fact that week on week I share advice. And if you listen to other podcasts too, which I'm sure you do, then it's doubled and tripled and so on. So here's my first tip. Whether you're paying for advice or whether it's from freebies like this podcast, just use that advice as your starting point. Here's what I mean. Let's imagine you want to focus on setting up or growing group classes. Just replace that with whatever it is you're trying to learn, but I'll use that as an example. So let's say you're doing that and you take a course on it or you watch some training on it, like the Masterminders did last month. The advice might be tailored to your niche, but in a way it will be generic as well, because the person advising you isn't inside your business. They may understand it very well, but they still aren't the ones who are interacting with your clients and your audience. So you may take their advice and see how things work, but as you gain traction, you'll be getting information that's even more valuable. You'll be getting information from your clients and audience. Now, in that situation, you want to start tweaking the advice and trying strategies led by your clients and audience. It might still be underpinned by the formal advice you received, but if you stick rigidly to that, you risk not getting the kind of results you want. Here's an example of when this happened to me, actually. I was focusing on email marketing and I took some training that advised that I needed various lead magnets and each one would have their own sequence of email to follow. So I tried it out. And I ended up with so many different sequences of emails, plus I had my monthly newsletter. And to be honest, I didn't have time to add any kind of email about my podcast, although from listening to experts about growing podcasts, I knew this was something I needed. But it just stayed on my to-do list for a good couple of years because I didn't have the headspace to add it. Now, when I was looking at my data, it wasn't bad. I had a fairly good open rate, people weren't unsubscribing too often, and on occasion, people would reply to me. But I wanted it to do better. I wanted to build relationships with people. At the time, I was running the Tutors Mastermind, and we were having two live training sessions a month. And we were just at the point where we were having conversations about reducing that because the Masterminders were finding the two training sessions overwhelming. And this gave me an idea. If I wanted to improve my email marketing results, would adding more be better or would that be too overwhelming? So I had used the advice that I got from the professional as my starting point, as a means to learn how to do it all and just to understand more about what my audience liked. Now I had real people from my audience to guide me, so that's what I responded to. As I shared in a recent episode about email marketing, I decided to try something new to completely simplify my strategy. I scrapped the many sequences of emails and just created a list for people who had signed up to freebies. And this included my monthly newsletter, and now I could send weekly emails about my podcast. And that was it. Nice and simple. Turned out, it boosted my open rate, even fewer people were unsubscribing and more people were replying to me, and we could actually start conversations. If that hadn't happened, then I would have tried something else, maybe something in between the complex strategy and the simple one that I have now. So you can see that I'm not suggesting you ignore advice. In fact, when you pay for support, I think it's really important to place your trust in that person and give things a go. But the point is to use it as your starting point and let your strategy evolve according to what works for you, what feels right for your audience, and so on. Now that I feel confident in my email marketing strategy, I no longer seek information about how often to send emails and so on. I focus on other parts of email marketing. That part is now led by my audience. And linked to that is my second tip. Do what you feel is manageable, because for anything to work, you have to keep doing it and or at least do it well. And you can only do that if you're taking an approach that's realistically manageable for you. I'll just continue with that email marketing example, but replace it with something else that applies to you. When I follow people who make a living from teaching email marketing, they talk about the many advantages. They talk about how so few people see your social media posts and yet so many people see emails in their inbox. They talk about how social media is borrowed land. Mark Zuckerberg owns Meta and its platforms and my material on there as well, but I own my email list. They talk about how social media requires you to be on a constant content treadmill, but email marketing can work for you in the background. All of these points are absolutely right. But guess what? When I then listen to someone telling me about why I should be using LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram or any other social media platform, they're telling me how it's the one place you can really get creative with your content and therefore help people get to know you. It's the place to boost your visibility. It's the place to start conversations and build relationships. So what do I choose? All of it? Some of it? Because everything the experts are saying about the type of marketing they support is true. Well, linked to my first point, we need to take advice as a starting point and be led more by what our audience respond to and where they are. If my audience, say, is on LinkedIn, but they don't really use it very much, then I wouldn't be on there, regardless of all the many good things about the platform, because it wouldn't make sense to me and my audience. And we can couple that with this tip, which is to choose what's manageable for you. Because it's better to gain traction and real momentum with the one thing than struggling to stay on top of loads of things. Life and business, well, being an adult, is hard enough. We don't need to make things harder by giving ourselves a punishing schedule driven by the fear of what would happen if we didn't do all the things everyone is telling us we absolutely need. Now, have you ever heard multiple people tell you the same thing, but for some reason you just seem to really get it when one person says it? I know I have, and this moves me to my third tip, which is finding that voice you really connect with. I don't mean an actual voice, although it can be if you're a fan of things like podcasts and audiobooks, but I mean just the people whose messages you really resonate with, whose teachings are broken down in a way that you understand. And importantly, you don't just want information, you want results. So choose to pay attention to people who inspire you to take action. Most of you listening are or have been educators, and you know what it's like. Sometimes we connect with a student and sometimes we simply don't. There doesn't have to be a personality clash, but sometimes students just aren't quite understanding what we're trying to explain. I have to say, when this happens to me in my group classes, I ask another student to explain it, which usually does the trick. But I digress. When you are in a student's shoes, the same applies. For possibly no tangible reason, you may simply struggle to take action with some people and with others. And then others who are saying very similar things, they might just inspire you. Now, my fourth tip is to come out of your bubble and look around you. I published an episode recently about standing out in a crowded market, and one of the things I mentioned is that if a lot of people are doing what you're doing, it's actually a good thing because it means there's a demand for what you offer. And in the same breath, connecting and networking is actually a great way to learn as well. One of the reasons why I encourage input from as many members of the Tutors Mastermind as possible is because I'm aware that I'm not the only expert in the room. Everyone has knowledge, skills, experience, and tips they can share, and I often learn from my clients as well. Learning can be a collaborative effort. You don't just need one guide, and a great place to draw inspiration is from your network. So I hope that at least some of these tips can help you feel less overwhelmed when you're surrounded by advice, and instead you can extract what applies to you, what's manageable, and what you find inspiring. Thank you as always for giving me your time and listening to this episode. I'd be very grateful if you could leave a little review. And in the meantime, have a great week and you'll hear from me on Wednesday. Would you like to take this discussion further? Perhaps you have some questions or you'd like more ideas on tailoring your business. If so, book a free discovery call through the link in the show notes.